Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. Just what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. And I think as you come looking and expecting a blessing, I think you'll get out of coming what you look forward. And what a blessing it has already been. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Sunday nights we've been going through and teaching on the teachings of Christ. And we've been doing this in chronological order in the very first message that Jesus Christ presented as he walked on the face of the earth. And then as we've continued on, last week we're in the getting toward the end of the second year of his public ministry that is recorded in the Gospels. And so last week we find that Jesus dealt with the wicked hearts of the Pharisees and revealing what was in their hearts. And understanding their thinking as well. And then after this, he moves on to address the thinking of those who were following him. And that's what we're looking at tonight, because the thinking of those that were following him leads to the parable of the rich fool. And so there's a lot here for us to learn from tonight. So let's go ahead and stand. We'll read the Word of God together if you're able to stand. As I read, you follow right along with me. We're going to start in Luke chapter 12, verse 13, read down to verse 21. Verse 13, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again, we thank you for, Lord, just the opportunity to be in church once again this evening. Thank you for your presence in this place, for the blessings of music. And now, Father, as we've opened up your word, and we've read this next lesson on the teachings of Christ, how important it is that we receive all that we can understand and learn from the teachings of our Savior. Bless now in the teaching and the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So here we first of all see verse 13 down to verse 15 is the reason for the parable. The reason for the parable of the rich fool. In verse 13, the Bible says, And one of the company said unto him, Master. So it was one that was actually following him and had been there in the presence of Christ for his teachings. And Jesus had been teaching some very powerful things concerning the will of God. And so he is following after Jesus. He's in the company. He even calls him master. But he has audience with Christ and the ear of Jesus. And this is what he asked him. Speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now, looking to use Jesus' influence to get what he wanted from his own brother. Sometimes I think people use the name of God to get what you want, to get sometimes what we can get through the influence of God. Sometimes we use God as an excuse. Well, I prayed about it. No, God wouldn't have me do that. Really. Is it based on the truth of the scriptures, the will of God for your life, the impact it'll have on other people? Or are you just saying that you prayed about it so that you can have your way in getting out of something or whatever it might be? That's somewhat was taking place here, because this man had not been listening and wanted to ask questions about the teachings of God the Son. He wanted to try to use Jesus' influence to get what he wanted from his own brother. Jesus' response helps us to know of somewhat of this man's motives when he said, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? Is that why you think I'm here? Is that all you've gotten out of all the lessons that I've preached, all the lessons I've taught over my example, the testimony? Is that what you've gotten out of following me?" Sometimes we take away the wrong message because we didn't really listen to the entire message. We just pick and choose what we want to take with us. Jesus was saying, "I'm not here for you to use my influence to get what you want from your brother." This man revealed that he wasn't looking to serve. He was just looking to use Christ. Can I tell you tonight, we're here to be influenced by Jesus so that we might influence others. If you haven't got a hold of that yet, as born-again believers, that's what we want to do. We want to be influenced by the life of Jesus Christ so that we might be able to take the influences of the life of Christ and the teachings of the life of Christ and apply them to our lives so that we might go out and live a Christian life. That we might go out and represent the Savior. That we might be able to help others, as we even preached on a little bit this morning. The will of God is for us to take what God has done for us and turn around and use that to be a help to others. Learn that we know that God is real and that God is the comforter. And as we understand God is real, the world needs to realize that our God is real and that he is the God of all comfort. He can help you, first of all, to have a peace that passeth all understanding concerning your own salvation, knowing that no matter what you have to deal with in this life, you do have heaven to look forward to. And heaven is a real place. Are we looking to take in what all that we can, being influenced by the things of Christ, so that we might be used of God to influence others? This man, even though he was following, called him master, was looking just to use Christ. His main problem, Jesus reveals in verse 15, and he said to them, because it could be the problem of everyone that followed him, it could still be a problem for everyone in this church if we allowed it to be a problem. And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware." It's a warning, because that's what this man was doing. That was the problem that this man had. And that's the whole problem of this rich fool in his thinking. Beware of covetousness. Covetousness. Greedy desires for what we do not have. Greedy. Because you see somebody else with something that you want. Because you don't have it. That is the most important thing that you have. You focus on getting it. Yeah. Covetousness. Our sin nature, which is the same. Every one of us have the very same sin nature. We're all capable of committing any sin. That's because of the sin nature. When we choose not to, is when you can overcome the flesh. And when we choose to let Christ influence us, is when you take off the old man, put on the new man, and start realizing that the new man and the life living by the new man is a far better life than living by the old man standards. That's what Jesus is getting across here. Take heed and beware of covetousness. And then he makes this statement. For a man's life, your life, consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. There are much more important things in life than the abundance of things. Can I tell you today there are more narcissists in the world than ever before? That's how we are in civilization. We are promoting this mentality. That anything that anybody else has, you deserve. And matter of fact, because they have it, they need to be able just to take it, what they have, and give to you because of how important you are. That narcissist mentality. Everything revolves around me. My life is the most important life on planet Earth. What I want should be what everyone wants to give me. Are you experiencing some of that? I mean, you know, the idea of mentality of humanity, that's what happens when humanity gets away from the nature of God and understanding the influence of Christ, and we are left to ourselves. Because that's a sinful nature. Selfish. Wanting to prioritize our own desires. Pleasure seekers. The Bible warns in the latter days that's going to be the mentality of most people. And Jesus says, take heed. Anytime you have a warning from God, you better take heed. You know that it's something that you're going to have to overcome. God's warning. The answer to overcoming covetousness is to learn to want what you have and thank God for it. Because that brings God into play in your life. I don't deserve anything. Because of my sin nature, I deserve hell. I don't deserve the blessings. I don't deserve anybody giving me any. I don't deserve the love of God. I didn't deserve Jesus coming to this earth and dying on the cross of Calvary for my sin nature, and because I owed a sin debt that I owed and couldn't pay. I didn't deserve that. But I'm so thankful that he loved me enough to do that for me. And so I need to learn to want what I have, and that's called contentment, and to thank God for it. Matter of fact, over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, Hebrews, and let me just read this to you. You know the verse, I'm sure, but Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conversations be without covetousness. If you're not careful, that's will be on your heart and your mind, because you see in everybody else that has more than you do, and that's just controlling your mind. It's controlling your desires. And then he says, and be content with such things as ye have, realizing who supplies what we have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's enough to bring contentment into your life, is just realizing that you have God as your comforter. So that is a reason for the parable. Everybody following me tonight? Amen. That's what's taking place. These were not the Pharisees. These were not those that had a wicked heart. These were those actually following him. And the one actually called him master. So none of us are exempt from having that same mentality if we would allow ourselves. So then he gives them a parable. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, now first of all, he's going to deal with a man, the ground of a certain rich man. This is a farmer. This is someone that's probably worked hard to get where he's at. He worked hard to make sure that he was going to have a full crops. Matter of fact, he had been a very successful farmer for some time, because the Bible says that this is a certain rich man. And as he was a rich man, he brought forth plentifully. To be rich is not wrong. To live for riches is covetousness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it helps us understand that. It's not the idea of money and being rich. It's not even the idea of having things. It's wrong. He says there in the book of 1 Timothy, let me just read that to you. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 down to verse 10, he says, and having food and raiment, he said, let us therewith be content. I want you to be content with whatever you have. And as long as you're content, then I can bless you with more, because it's not going to get to you, and it's not going to change your mentality. It's not going to change your way of living, thinking that you deserve all this other. But he says, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich, that's a sin. They fall into temptations and a snare. Satan's going to use that. Covetousness. I want to be rich. I want to have everything anybody else. I don't want there to be anybody that has more than I have. If you let the sin nature go, that's exactly where it's going to lead you. And so it goes on to say, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish. This is what happens when you allow that to be who you are, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Lust never thinks about the other person. No, when you're thinking about the other person, it's called love. And you're willing to sacrifice and do whatever and give up whatever you have for somebody else, it's called love. Lust is just the opposite. It's what can you do for me? You ought to give me pleasure. You ought to do what I want done. I ought to be the number one. And whatever my desires are, you ought to give me my desires. Narcissist mentality. And They're drawn into a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, the love of all these things that money can buy and give you, is the root of all evil, which would be covetousness right there. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. It's not the will of God. And pierced themselves. You're doing more damage than you realize, because it's piercing themselves through with many sorrows. This was this rich man. This is who's the illustration he's going to use in this parable. Verse 17 down to verse 19, his assessment of his life and what he would do. He reveals the thinking of this rich man. He thought within himself. This is his thinking. Saying, what shall I do? I've got more than I know what to do with. What shall I do with such an abundance? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And then he said, this will I do. He's still speaking to himself. He's not getting any other counsel. He's having the thinking of a fool. His thinking was not influenced by anybody but himself. His thinking was not based upon God or eternity. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater barns. Everyone, who wouldn't do that in his thinking? Because if you're not thinking about God and eternity, then you're going to think a carnal mentality, have a carnal mentality, and that's what you would do. And build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, he is thinking about his inner being. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he says. That's this thinking of this person that God will call a fool. But Jesus is presenting this to those that are following him to help them not to go this direction in their minds. His thinking was not based upon God. His thinking was not based upon eternity. Can I tell you that if we're going to have right thinking, we have to be aware of both of those things. I often tell people, you control your thoughts. You got a free will. We mentioned that this morning. Free will is very important. You control what you leave on your heart and mind. You control what you reject, and you control what you receive. If you're going to have right thinking, you have to know what's right to think. No one has ever had right thinking that did not know what was right to think, because your sin nature is not going to allow you to think right. It's only by understanding God and the influence of God on humanity that allows us to have right thinking. If you have any Christian thoughts in your heart and mind, it's because you have been influenced by Christianity. If you're living in the United States of America, this great nation has influenced everybody that's ever lived in this nation concerning Christianity, concerning right thinking, whether you realize it or not. You were raised to be a moral individual. Can I tell you, that's because that your parents
had it been influenced by Christianity, and they would underraise you with moral conviction. They might not have even known that, but that because of living by the laws that we established and living by the history that we have and understanding and learning from all that, that has influenced us. And it's slowly but surely changing from the influence of God to the influence of man. So if you're going to have right thinking, you have to know what's right to think. And then once you know what's right to think, you have to tell yourself to think that way. Because you are your own boss. Now, we have a higher influence than what we have, but I need to look to him to know what's right to think, and then I need to control myself by telling myself, you will think this way. And the longer you think that way, if you truly give yourself to thinking that way, it will influence how you live, whether you're content or covetous. Wow. That's exactly what Jesus is presenting to his disciples, those that are following him. He's trying to help them to realize you can't just yield to your own thoughts. I've been here and I'm here with you and I'm here to influence you so that you might have right thinking. Don't be like this fool. God's thoughts revealed in verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Didn't think about that, did you? Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he. That he is the disciples, those following him, it's any one of us, that layeth up treasure for himself. And is not rich toward God. Thou fool. One who is destitute of reason. Or possesses common powers of understanding. One who pursues a course of action contrary to the dictates of wisdom. Did you get a hold of that? When Jesus used the word fool, that's exactly what he is saying. One who is destitute of reasoning. And you reason whether there's a God and you come up with the fact that there is no God. Listen to me, that's a fool that says there is no God. You have turned yourself away from reality. You turn yourself away from reasoning and common sense. And you believe the lies of the devil. One who is destitute of reason or common powers of understanding, one who pursues a course of action contrary to the dictates of wisdom. Fool. So the question, I would trust that every one of them asked themselves after hearing this, is my way of thinking foolish? Is my way of thinking towards God? Am I showing wisdom or foolishness? What is your thinking about God? You have to ask yourself and you have to answer that yourself, because I don't know what your thinking is. I know what it should be. But sometimes you think people think the right way and they really are not thinking the right way. You're thinking, wow, how in the world could you think that way with all of this that the Bible has to tell us? How could you be thinking this way? Then I'm an exception. God loves me more than he loves you. He allows me to get by with things he wouldn't allow you to get by with. Yeah. Narcissist. Yeah. Because that's what that would be. Huh. Family. Teenagers are narcissists. Not all of them. But when they start thinking that the whole family revolves around them, that's a narcissist. And that's wrong thinking. And mom and dad, if you allow your teenager to think that way, you're wrong. You're not raising them as God tells you to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you allow your children to disrespect you, if you allow your children to disobey you, then you're wrong. Your thinking is not right. You think your child is more important than any other child in the nursery. No. No. That's a narcissist. Are you thinking right? Are you thinking based on the wisdom of God or the foolishness of man concerning family? Concerning possessions? Do you allow possessions to control you? Is that what's on your heart and mind all the time? Gaining more things? Life's more than that. You're missing out on so much of life when you allow the devil to influence your thinking concerning things. Church, take it or leave it. Only when it's convenient. Only when you want to come. Or is it something that I look to what God says about it? And because I know what God says about it, I'm going to think that way until it becomes automatic. I never one time heard my children ask me, do we have to go to church? Because they already knew the answer. So because I already knew the answer, they never asked a question, and because they never asked a question, it became their thinking. It became their way of thinking. Because that's the way God wanted them to think. And I was going to try to do, my wife and I were going to do the very best we could to make sure that they had the right kind of thinking. Whether they did or not, it would be up to them. They have a free will. But we're going to do raise them that way to give them the best chance possible to turn out right. Amen. God's reasoning, in light of the reality of death and eternity, he called this man's thinking a fool. God said unto him, thou fool. I don't want God calling me a fool. Because he wouldn't call me that unless it was reality. And he called him that because of this man's thinking. He was void of an understanding of God, the certainty of death, and eternity. This man lost his substance and he lost his soul. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. And this is the end, but this is the impact of the message.
after you presented this fool, presented that his soul was required of him that night, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Foolish or wise? Oh, to be rich toward God. The wisdom of being right with God. Because God is God. We can have godly benefits now and for all eternity. When you know who God is and you believe Him to be the God of all comfort. Benefits now, a peace that passeth all understanding, the comfort that I don't want to be without. And then to have that in this life and have eternity to look forward to in heaven with God in a glorified body with all of those that have gone on before us, knowing them as we knew them here, it's going to be different, but we will be known as we were known, being able to have that fellowship, being able to have that time together. Can I tell you, it is the wisdom of God to know who God is and to have thinking that pleases Him. Wise? Do I have wisdom? Or am I being overwhelmed with foolish understandings? If I could have every head bowed tonight. Oh, to be rich toward God. Now, throughout this life, and definitely throughout eternity. What a great lesson from our Savior to us. Father, we bow before You. We thank You, Lord God, for this message and for the teachings of Christ. And I pray, God, that we would understand we have to fight off covetousness. We have to fight off wrong thinking. And we have to know the truth and live by it. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.